Tether freezes 3484 millers in USDT tied to Iran central bank wallets. Tether has frozen roughly $344 million in USDT tied to wallets that on-chain analytics firm Arqaam has linked to Iran's central bank after the addresses were flagged for suspected sanctions evasion. The freeze and the attribution were both announced on May 13, 2026, with Cointelegraph reporting on Arqaam's identification of the wallets in the wake of Tether's action. The action is one of the larger single-shot freezes in USDT's history, and a rare case where the public attribution of state-linked wallets followed the freeze itself, rather than preceding it. The freeze in the attribution Tether did not immediately publish a detailed breakdown of every address in the $344 million bucket, but the issuer has standing policy to comply with U.S. Treasury OFAC requirements and to block addresses connected to sanctioned entities. Arqaam's contribution was to map the cluster of addresses Tether had already blacklisted back to wallets it associates with Iran's central bank. The wallets, according to Arqaam's tagging, sat behind a network of intermediaries, rather than receiving funds directly from sanctioned entities. For Tether, freezing balances is straightforward. USDT is issued through smart contracts that include an add blacklist function. Once an address is added, the tokens in it become non-transferable. The issuer has used the function thousands of times since 2017, but single freezes north of $100 million remain unusual, and a $344 million action against wallets attributed to a central bank moves the story from compliance routine into geopolitics. Iran's central bank has been under U.S. sanctions since 2018, with secondary sanctions tightened in 2020, designating the institution under counterterrorism authorities. That designation means any entity, including a private stablecoin issuer, that knowingly facilitates transactions for the bank, risks its own exposure to secondary sanctions. Freezing the balances is the conservative path. Stakes for stablecoin design. The episode reinforces a structural feature of centralized stablecoins that critics have flagged for years. The issuer can immobilize funds at any address, at any time, with no court order required. For users and businesses that have built operations on USDT rails, that power is the price of access to the deepest stablecoin liquidity in the market. As of May 13, 2026, USDT's circulating supply sits above $140 billion, with no comparable competitor on settlement volume. The freeze also lands while Washington is mid-debate on stablecoin legislation. A separate fight is playing out over whether banks should be allowed to block stablecoin yield and how strict the issuer-level compliance regime should be. Tether's willingness to act unilaterally on $344 million strengthens the case made by issuers that voluntary controls already work, but it also confirms the centralization concern that decentralized stablecoin advocates have used as their core argument. For users holding USDT as a working balance, the practical implication is narrow. Balances on unflagged addresses are unaffected. The risk surface for ordinary users has always been about counterparty trust in the issuer's redemption, not about random freezes. The exposure that does grow is for any business or wallet provider whose flows touch addresses later tagged as sanctioned, since those funds can be locked in transit. Arqaam's attribution methodology, Arqaam's tagging methodology, relies on clustering wallets that share funding sources, withdrawal patterns, or counterparty links to known sanctioned entities. Once a cluster looks operationally consistent with a state-linked actor, analysts can attribute it with a confidence score. The firm has tagged North Korea's Lazarus Group, Russia's Garantex, and various sanctioned ransomware groups using similar methods. Attributing a central bank rather than a known criminal group raises the stakes for the analytics layer. If Arqaam's mapping is precise, the data adds a verifiable chain of custody to what would otherwise be opaque OFAC determinations. If it is loose, the public attribution invites legal challenge. The firm has not disclosed the full evidence trail, which is standard practice for forensic intelligence vendors. The pattern fits a broader trend in 2025 and 2026. On-chain analytics is no longer just informing exchange compliance teams. It is driving real-time enforcement decisions at the issuer level, and the public attribution layer is shortening the gap between sanctions designation and on-chain effect.